Accession number 18575, real one.
Bob Smith, real one. Where were you born, please?
In Maidstone.
Which year was this?
1923.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Maidstone?
Yes, I did.
And how old were you when you left school?
15.
In 1938?
In 1938.
Where did you go to on leaving school?
Joined the army.
As a regular?
Yes, I did.
Why did you decide to do that?
It was rather strange. My form at school, if you remember, the war clouds were gathering, and most of the lads in my form at school sat for three exams: the Royal Air Force Apprentice Tradesman, the Royal Naval Apprentice Tradesman, and the Army Apprentice Tradesman. And the first result of them that came through was mine, which was the Army Apprentice Tradesman. My grandfather and an uncle of mine had served in the Royal Engineers, but I don't think that influenced me in actually setting for the exam. I think it was a little bit of bravado. We were all sitting for these various exams at that time. I passed for the Army one, and subsequently, in January 1939, I joined the Army Apprentice College at Chepstow, which was a general service college training various trades, and on completion of the courses, the boys would either be posted to the Royal Artillery, the Royal Engineers, the Royal Army Service Corps, the Royal Ordnance Corps. Mainly, I was a bricklayer, and for some reason, in May, I beg your pardon, I think it was March of 1939, I was transferred from Chepstow to a new Army Apprentice College for Royal Engineers only at Fort Darland and Chatham in Kent. This was marvellous because I was living, of course, in Maidstone, and it was only 7 miles away from home. So I found, on arrival at Fort Darland, it was like a palace compared to Chepstow. Chepstow had been, believe it or not, a camp for French prisoners of war from the Napoleonic Wars, and I don't think much had been done to improve it since then. For example, we only had hot water once a week. But Fort Darland was one of the Horbelicia modernisation camps of the army, and was, well, just fantastic. Hot and cold running water every day, all day. In 1940, of course, following the evacuation of Dunkirk, Chatham being more or less in the firing line, we were sent on leave, and we had about 2 months leave. When I was recalled, I was sent to Clitheroe, which was the number one training battalion, Royal Engineers, Clitheroe in Lancashire. And we were billeted in disused cotton mills.
Just before you go any further, can I ask you what your reaction was to the news that war had been declared in September 39?
Yes, we were, as I said, at Chatham, and I'm a Roman Catholic, so I did not have to do the big church parades that the other lads had to go through. We had our service around about 8:30 in the morning. So at about 11 o'clock, I was in my barrack room when the sirens went off, and we were all herded into the underground air raid shelters. My news of the war, I suppose, being what, 16-year-old, was rather excitement, I should think. Although I had taken a great interest in the happenings of the First World War, I don't really think that I can say that I was looking, thinking of the carnage that I'd read about from the First World War.
Were you in any bombing of England by the German Air Force in those early years of the war?
Only when I came on leave to Maidstone, when bombs and, on two occasions, crashing aircraft, one German, one British, fell upon Maidstone. But I was not involved in any casualties at that time. However, since then, in fact, only this week, a little book has been published which shows that 53 people were killed in Maidstone by bombing, which I was unaware of until today.
So the bombing of Maidstone wasn't a frightening experience for you?
No. There was the shelling, which was, remote really, but two shells did land in Maidstone whilst I was on leave, but again, nowhere near where I was living.
Two shells?
Yes. This was reckoned to have been the most extreme position that the German batteries in France could reach, and certainly it is now verified that they were shells.
Where were you when the bombs fell in Maidstone?
I was at home at my mother's.
What address was that?
St. Philip's Avenue in Maidstone.
And no bombs fell anywhere near there?
Not to my knowledge. Oh, there is a correction to that. Yes, I've mentioned this little booklet, yes, there were bombs within about 200 yards of my mother's house, but her house was not damaged.
Now, coming back to your army career, you're in Clitheroe, you were saying?
Yes. I was an instructor in Clitheroe after I passed out from the initial manned service training, as it was called, and I stayed in Clitheroe for a couple of years. And then, after that, was transferred to the 53rd Welsh Division, into the 282 Field Company, which again was a complete coincidence. I mentioned before that I had been moved from Chepstow to Chatham, 7 miles away from home. In this instance, I was less than 1 mile from home, because the 282 Field Company was stationed in Moat Park in Maidstone.
What kind of job and role did you have with 282 Field Company at that time?
When I joined them, I was promoted from corporal to lance sergeant, and my position was that of reconnaissance lance sergeant.
Reconnaissance?
Yes. A field company is composed of 4 platoons, 3 of which are what the Americans call combat engineers, and the 4th are headquarters. And each platoon had a reconnaissance lance sergeant in it. Because of this, my vehicle was a half-track armoured international, the American car. This was issued because we would frequently be required to join either the infantry and the or the armour as advisors or support for various actions.
But what exactly does a reconnaissance land sergeant do?
Within the platoon, he only has one driver, one lance corporal and a sapper as crew. So for normal platoon work, he would be not involved in a commanding position. But as I said, was mainly held for reconnaissance work for the company, i.e. Forward patrolling, always accompanied by either infantry or armour, to reconnoitre possible bridging sites perhaps, or the need for road repair perhaps, or perhaps to advise on the clearance or the laying of minefields for the infantry.
So you were transferred to 282 Field Company in which year? 42?
43.
What happened next?
As I said, we were stationed in Maidstone, which was my home. We had three very large moves, if I could be a little humorous. One of 9 miles to a village south of Maidstone, and then one of 20 miles to Herne Bay, also in Kent. So I was very lucky. The division had been earmarked as defence of the southeast of England. That is why the Welsh division were in the Kent area. Of course, the various component units of the division were spread all over Kent. They had been in Northern Ireland prior to this, but I had not joined them at that stage.
And then?
We were earmarked for Normandy, and I'm not sure exactly what day we arrived in Normandy. It was something like 14 days after D-Day, because the division was a follow-up division. We left from Tilbury, anchored off of Sheerness, and landed on the beaches about 3 to 4 days later.
What was the sight that you saw once you got to Normandy?
The unloading, of course, of stores onto the beaches, and we moved inland and were harboured in a small orchard south of Bayeux. This, of course, being the first time that the division and of course my company had been on active service, if you like, we tended to rather exaggerate the need to dig in, because of course this would be some miles behind the front line. One lesson that was learnt, however, was that unfortunately two men slept under a truck, and owing to the bad state of the ground, the truck settled into the mud and trapped them underneath. I said fortunately, because they were not killed but injured. This was a lesson that we all learnt, of course.
What else did you see at first in Normandy?
The division was then called in to take part in an active role, and we were first required to maintain what became known as ship route up, which was designed to be the main route up for the army. Our task was to try to clear a way through the village of Shu. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's C-H-E-U-X, I think, which had been the subject of very heavy fighting by the Scottish divisions. In fact, this whole area was called the Scottish Corridor. We completed clearance of the road and somewhat of the little village.
What did that involve?
Mainly bulldozing the rubble out of the way.
Was there much of that?
Oh yes, the whole area was virtually flattened, or there was not a building standing in the village at all.
And this thing was called Ship Route Up?
Ship Route Up, yes.
And it was going to be the main supply
route? It was going to be one of the main supply routes. I understand that later there was another one developed called Hat Route Up. But they were after we had gone well forward.
What were the main problems that you had in doing that work?
As I said, I had no men actually under command, and so I was really just assisting in the general clearing up of the rubble at that stage.
And then?
The next move we had was to construct a small fascine crossing over the River Oden. This was following up on the attack across the Oden by another division, but our task was to try to make a second crossing of this river. In fact, it was more like a large stream. We were doing this by making a sort of dam across, so that at least light vehicles would be able to cross over. And beyond this was the village of Baron, and beyond that the noted hill 112, which was being attacked by, I think, the 43rd Division and I think the 11th Armoured. Whilst we were building this dam, if you like, we heard for the first time the what was known as Moaning Minnies, the Nebelwerfer, don't ask me to spell that, Nebelwerfer rockets going overhead, fired by the enemy. This was a horrendous noise, and as we were down in a sort of valley, it echoed right the way around.
By fascine crossing, you mean sticks?
Yes, bundles of brushwood tied together and other pieces of timber laid on top of that, and then a wire sort of mesh track laid on top of that. However, before this task was completed, I was called upon for the first time to act my role as a reconnaissance sergeant and was attached to one of the Welsh battalions who were at that time occupying the lower slopes of Hill 112, having taken over from the attacking division. They required a defensive minefield to be laid in front of their position, and I was attached to them as sapper advisor to this. Whilst we were engaged in this, the battalion was very heavily attacked by infantry and six Tiger tanks and were partially overrun. The counterattack by a sister battalion, however, cleared the enemy. This was my first taste of action. And although I was not involved in actual fighting, being still with the battalion headquarters, it was the first experience I had of actual combat.
How did you react to it?
Strange enough, I didn't seem to be particularly concerned. I don't know why, but I wasn't. I think I had so much faith in the infantry lads around me. The shelling was frightening, I suppose. But again, I couldn't believe that the forward platoons of the battalion had been overrun as they were. We certainly were not involved in the battalion headquarters, although it was only within a few hundred yards of the actual action. I think it was the quick reaction of the counterattack by its sister battalion which saved the day.
Were there any casualties near to you?
Not near to me, no, but the forward platoons of the infantry had quite a heavy casualty list and quite a number of missing personnel, apparently later found to be prisoners of war. This would be the first attacks or casualties suffered by the division as a result of enemy action.
So this is in June 44?
Yes.
What happened next to you?
Later, I was attached to the armour, again because it had been reported that the enemy had withdrawn to the River Orne, or maybe over, and it was known that there was a small bridge over a stream before the Orne, and information was required as to the state of this bridge, whether it was prepared for demolition or would be strong enough to hold at least support vehicles of the infantry. So together with two light tanks of one of the armoured regiments, I can't recall which, and I went forward to investigate this bridge. I must admit we were all rather hesitant about leaving our vehicles, as it was not known if the enemy had withdrawn or not. However, we reached the bridge without any problems, and I did a very quick, I can assure you, reconnaissance of the bridge just to see if there was any demolition charges underneath it, and it appeared to be a well-built stone bridge, not very large. In fact, we measured it by saying what is the length of our international and adding a few feet either end of it to get the length.
What is the length of your what?
International, the armoured vehicle that I had. It was I think the full definition was white international scout car. They were rubber half-track vehicles, American built. One amusing incident about all this was that as we were reversing to come back to the lines, my lance corporal said, "Look, what's that down there?" And he jumped out and picked up a rather large attache case, which we could see there were documents inside of it, and we thought perhaps it was some vital information that we got. So we took it back to the parent company of the tanks, and an officer who understood German said he would translate it. A few moments later, he came back, grinning all over his face, and said, "That vital information you got is purely a rota enabling various officers of the SS units to fish in that river. The next move was, of course, to cross the Orne, but from recollection, we were not actually involved in the actual crossing. Having crossed the Orne, we again had rather what turned about out to be a humorous incident, in that my platoon was detailed to construct a wire cage to hold expected prisoners from a forthcoming attack. We set out to do this very early in the morning and had nearly completed it when a smoke barrage was put down covering us, and we thought possibly there was it heralded a German attack, but lo and behold, out of the smoke came the British infantry, and they were absolutely amazed to see us there, and using words to the effect of, "What are you doing here? You're in front of the start line," proceeded to carry on with their attack. On investigating later, it was found that the platoon had been given the wrong map reference by the provost, who had requested this cage, and in fact it was in front of the infantry start line. Fortunately, the enemy had withdrawn completely, otherwise I think we might have been in for a rather nasty time. It's amazing you recall these funny incidents more than any other. From the Orne, things were relatively quiet. The company was involved in a couple of very small bridging operations, but as I say, being the reconnaissance sergeant, I would have had no part in these. From my recollections, we then advanced to the River Seine. The division.
Had you had much contact with Norman civilians?
None at all. From my recollection, we saw a small family in a farmhouse close to crossroads which became notorious, with Le Bon Repos crossroads, which were the crossroads linking Hill 112 to the main road. Certainly, we never did see any other civilians, but of course plenty of evidence of their cattle laying feet uppermost and bloated, and quite often we put rifle bullets into the carcass to try to let out the stench. I'm fairly certain that until the Seine, at least, we did not have any contact with French civilians.
What happened on the push towards the Seine?
I don't think anything startling happened at all, as far as I was concerned. It was more or less just moving forward with my company. No, I can't recall anything else really. It was to the River Seine then.
Any contact with the French resistance?
Not prior to the Seine, no. After the crossing of the Seine, we did meet up with some SAS troops who had been dropped in the forest near Lejeune. That's the town of the Little Flower. And